Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me well? Now, today is Good Friday. Every year, 3 days before Easter, we come and celebrate our Lord in the Good Friday. In Chinese, we call it Shaolanji, the festival of suffering. But in English term, it is called the Good Friday. You might wonder, why does Jesus' suffering on the cross can be good? You don't think hearing someone's agony in a torturing device waiting to die is a good thing, right? Well, in the Western culture, today is called Good Friday because God is good. Our God is gracious and full of mercy. God's attributes are good, and His works are good. Therefore, God's gift to us must be good. In biblical definition, good on the material level was the promised blessing of God in His covenant with His people. It is a day of celebration, because God's goodness is placed on this very first Good Friday. He has given us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, as a gift, so that whoever believes in Jesus Christ will have eternal life and their sins will be forgiven. On the 3rd of April, year 33 AD, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, sentenced Jesus to death. Now, the Mark's Gospel report that Jesus was taken to a place called Golgotha. Now, Golgotha, in the local Aramaic terms, means the skull place because the hill looks like a skull. As you can see in the photo, it is a place of death. Can you see that the skull on the skull hill? Out there. There, up there, on top, that is where Jesus was crucified. Now, the Romans invented crucifixion to execute condemned criminals as punishment by prolonging the pain of the criminal as long as possible. The victims would have to suffer for hours to days until they die slowly, little bit by little bit. And they would be crucified next to the main roads as a public warning and deterrent to terrorize the population. The public shaming was so great that people would not even mention their names, their family would not mention the names of those who are crucified out of shame. Yet, the powerful healer, the Son of God, died in this way as a public humiliation, as a human being. Now, the scripture records that the soldiers crucified Jesus, nailed him down to the wooden beam. There, they divide Jesus' clothes and gamble the belonging to see who would get what. This humiliation of Jesus Christ was all under God's plan of salvation. God had predicted long time ago, as if King David had said 1,000 years ago, before Jesus. It was written in Psalm 22. In the Psalm, the psalmist says, "Dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircle me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments." Now, the humiliation for Jesus on the cross was entirely under God's will. It was all under God's plan from the beginning. Why? It is because Jesus' mission on earth is to save us from our sins. But the price that God has to pay is to save us is very, very high. The Bibles tell us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is from Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Only a sinless person can pay that kind of ransom of sin to save many. If Jesus did not die and resurrected, our sins are not forgiven. Jesus did it only because he loves you. Jesus loved you. He loves you so much that he's willing to sacrifice his own life for you, so that we, the sinners, might live. Our soul is important in God's eyes. Jesus wants you to be saved from your sins. He is like a U-turn sign at the gate of hell and calling you to return to his Father. Jesus endured the suffering for all of us so that we who believe in him will be saved. And that is the gospel message of every Easter, every Good Friday. But the question is, are we taking it for granted? Are we hearing this story of what Jesus Christ has done for us and walk out without change, without gratitude, or no response? Now, many people have listened to the gospel story. They may have heard it in school, in scripture class. They may have heard it from their parents or their grandparents or their friends. But not everyone will respond to God's calling of repentance. Do you know who Jesus really is? Because if you don't truly understand who Jesus is, we cannot fully comprehend why does he have to come to earth and die for us on the cross. Now, in today's passage, there are two titles of Jesus to proclaim his true identity. First is that we find out that Jesus is King. And secondly, we find out that Jesus is the Son of God to take away sins. On the cross, the Romans often inscribed the crime of the criminal had committed. And what is the charge against Jesus from the Roman government? It reads about Jesus on the wooden cross. It reads, "The King of the Jews." Now, Jesus did not commit any crime in his life. He was crucified for who he is, the King of the Jews, the long-awaited Messiah for thousands of years from the line of King David. And Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, had asked Jesus himself earlier in the Gospel of Mark, verse chapter 15. He asked Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "You have said so." Jesus is unlike any other kings on earth. All the other kings received their crowns in their coronation. But Jesus' crown was not made of gold and silver. No jewels on it. It was a crown of thorns that was designed to inflict pain on his forehead. Imagine when the Roman soldier put the crown onto Jesus' head full of thorns, the spiked, the tips of the thorns will stick into his skull. It is painful. It was used for execution and torture. While all the other kings in the world received praises from his people, but Jesus received condemnation, humiliation, and mocking from everyone around him. Even the Jewish people he's supposed to come as their king, they mocked him. As we see in verse 29 in today's passage, those who passed by hurled insult at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." And in the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, the King of the Jews, the King of the Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insult on him. Now, on the surface of this event, Jesus looks wholly defeated. His enemies think they have won, but unknowingly, in their contempt, the truth about Jesus was proclaimed in their insults. They say, "Let this Messiah, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Jesus could have saved himself, but he endured his suffering because of his love for us. He could have chosen not to take the pain and humiliation. He could choose to kill his enemies, but he endured the suffering all for us all because he loves even his enemies. We all had a significant part in this drama 2,000 years ago. You may thought that we haven't been born, but no, you are part of it because our sins were on that cross. Jesus died for us and his death paid the penalty for our sins. So now, only correct response that we can make is to confess our sin and say sorry to God and give thanks to God that Jesus has paid for our sins, the debt, so that we wouldn't have to. If you don't receive this gift from God, we are actually insulting God. I'll repeat it one more time. If you don't respond to Jesus' gospel message to die for our sins, you are insulting God because he has done the best thing that he could to save your life, sending his son to die for you. Yes, you didn't respond. Someone may ask, how? How did Jesus destroy the temple and make with hands and build a new one not made with human hands in 3 days? They took King Herod at that time, he took about thirty years to build the temple. But how did Jesus going to make a new one in 3 days? Well, Jesus has changed the way of the Old Testament sacrificial system of animal sacrifice and rebuilt a new temple with his own blood and his own life. After Jesus died and buried for 3 days, he conquered death and raised up again in the glory of God on the first Easter. Death is not done by human hand. Death was the beginning of the church. For it is insufficient for the animal's blood to cleanse the sins of the people year after year. Many years, every year, the high priest would come up and cleanse everyone and have to kill our sacrifice for animals again and again and again. That is insufficient. But when Jesus, the Son of God, died on the cross as a perfect sacrifice once for all, the old sacrificial system, the old temple, is no longer needed. Instead, Jesus has started a new church where everyone come from every nation can worship him as our God. He's no longer God of Israel, but God of everyone who believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus has taken away the sins of the world, not just for the Jews, of the world, the entire world, which he must fulfill as the Lamb of God. That is why John the Baptist, first time when he saw Jesus, he said what? He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who taking away the sin." If we talk about the Lamb of God, we need to look back to the first Passover in Exodus. In the last plague of Egypt, God sent the angel of death to kill all the firstborn of everyone in Egypt. But God did not check who is inside the house who are worthy when he saved people. He checked the blood of the lamb on the doorposts. If there's blood on the doorpost on each house of the Israelites, the judgment will pass over. That's why it's called Passover. The judgment will pass over. In the same way, we all receive the grace of God through Jesus Christ, the Lamb, on the cross. Jesus died on our behalf, and none of us is worthy. But God only checked the blood of Christ on the cross. That means only the blood of Jesus can cover our sins. Taking the sin of the whole world is very painful. It cannot be imagined by it's much more than what Jesus has suffered spiritually is much, much more than what we see physically. Jesus, who has no sin, is now made sin for us. That is the only time in human history, not before, not after, that is the Father and the Son have been separated by the sin of this world. Your sin, my sin, everyone's sin were all cast upon Jesus. And so Jesus cried out in a loud voice. What did he say? He said, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani. That means, my God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, Jesus Christ recalls the first verse in Psalm 22. Psalm 22, King David already prophesied a long time ago, say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries and anguish? Now, it is that very moment the sin of the world has been taken away because Jesus had taken the full force of judgment from his Father against the sin of humanity. All the sins of in the past, at present, and in the future. And Jesus cries out in agony as he bore the sins of the world and he was separated for the very first time from his beloved Father. And Jesus' death fully displayed at the same time God's sovereignty and his grace for the people. So he sent his beloved Son to give his life as a ransom of many. This is how God's will is at work in Jesus' death to fulfill the scripture, what God has spoken. When Jesus died, we see that in Mark chapter 15, verse 33, it says, at noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 PM. The heavens was declaring a cosmic display of a sign of distress, agony and grief over the Son of God had died. And the darkness at that time on the sky was also a sign of God's judgment upon the earth. But only this time we are so lucky because Jesus had taken it all upon himself. It was declaring, like fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy from Amos chapter 8, verse 9 to 10. In that day, declares the sovereign Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your religious festivals into mourning and all your singing into weeping. I will make all you wear sackcloth and shave your heads, and I will make that time like mourning for an only son, and the end of it like a bitter death. Does this sound like what happened when Jesus died? The sun went down, total in darkness at noon, for 3 hours, until Jesus died at 3 o'clock. It was darkened the earth, and people were mourning for the only son, God's only son, died on that bitter day. And also, rather than just the cosmic display in heavens, the earth in God's temple in Jerusalem also responds. When Jesus died, in Mark chapter 15, verse 38, it said, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to the bottom. Now, this curtain in the temple separates the holy place and the most holy place at the back, the place which is reserved by God himself. No one can enter that place in the Holy of Holies behind the curtain. Only once a year, the high priest could enter on the Day of Atonement, which is the Passover day, to sprinkle blood of the sacrificed animal on the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant. Now, this curtain symbolized the barrier of sin between mankind and the Holy God. Because of our sin, separate between God and us, and now, this curtain that symbolized the sin of the world that separates us between us and God is torn apart, broken into two, is torn open, signifying the hostility between God and us people, have been broken just because of Jesus' sacrifice. The breaking of the curtain in the temple symbolized that we now have full access to God, and his blessings flow out from the temple so everyone can receive his forgiveness of sins. Back in the old days, when you have sins, what do? You need to find a priest or high priest, and they cast your sin onto a sacrificial animal, and the animal dies so that you and your family can live. But now, God has taken away that hostility because of Jesus Christ. We have full access to God. That's why you can pray in the name of Jesus Christ, and God will answer your prayer. It's open to you and open to me, to everyone who trusts in him. And at that time, at this moment, the Roman centurion who crucified Jesus just next to him saw how Jesus died, and they proclaimed Jesus' true identity. He finally said, "Surely this man was the Son of God," in verse 39. Now, his Romans are the Gentiles. They are not Jewish people. But unknowingly, the one who crucified Jesus, the executor, acknowledged who Jesus is. He said he is the Son of God. His confession and acknowledgement of Jesus means that Jesus' full identity is directly linked to his death. If he's not the Son of God, if he's not the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, he doesn't need to die. His death on the cross is what identifies who Jesus is. And it is through the death of Christ that we can see the new temple, a house of prayer for all nations, become a reality. If Jesus doesn't die, the hostility is still there. And as Gentiles, none of us can worship God. None of us can see this new spiritual temple made of the body of Christ. As the psalmist wrote in Psalm 22, King David said before, "All the end of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion and belongs to the Lord, and his rules over the nations." It was God's salvation plan from the beginning, to be accomplished only by the Son of God, Jesus. God chose to love us. He chose to save us. He chose to have a relationship to all of us, with all of us, with the cost of the life of his beloved Son. Jesus did it all alone by himself. Like the psalmist say in Psalm 22, verse 30 to 31, he say, "Posterity will serve him. Future generations, that is us who was unborn, will be told about the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it." Remember what is the last word when Jesus died on the cross? He say, "It's done." If I finish my project or for university or finish assignment, I would say, "It's done." When Jesus died on the cross, the last word he say, "It's done." For he has done it. It's not because what we did. It's not because we or anything that we do in our lives. Not because we serve. Not because I preach. Nothing that we can do can bring us to receive God's grace. It is all salvation by Jesus Christ. He has done it alone. And if everybody in this world woke up one day and say, "Someday I have to stand before my Maker, God, and give an account for every word I have ever spoken, every deed that I have done, every thought that I have ever thought, and every task I have failed to do." Think about that. How dreadful will be the day of judgment. The older we are, the more sin we will have. We are all sinners. But Jesus let us know that. Do not fear. All we need to do is give thanks to God that Jesus has already taken away all the sins that we have committed, all the sins we have had in mind, every wrong thing that we have spoken. You and I are forgiven because Jesus has died for you. So even if we die by illness, by accident, or by murder, or any way that we die, we can be sure that we will go have eternity with Christ through Jesus Christ, just because what Christ has done on the Good Friday. So remember what Jesus has done for you on this very Good Friday, that we should not go back to our former way of life. As we are called now His people, the holy people of God, Jesus has taken our sins away on the cross, so sin no more. That is our response. Let us obey God and live in His way. Let us respond to Him with praises and thanksgiving. That's why we worship God and sing to the Lord every week after week. And the life of the Son of God is very, very precious. And forgiveness, that we receive this forgiveness today and every day, it is the most lovely thing that God has done for us. God is a loving Father. He loves us. So that we will live a holy life for Him in His glory. So now let us thank you, Jesus. We say thank you, Jesus, for what He has done for us now and forever. Amen. Let's join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for you for the Good Friday. Thank you for Jesus for dying out for our sins. Thank you for your forgiveness of sins. And now we have full access to you. Heavenly Father, forgive us. Help us to always remind us what Jesus has done for us, so that we don't rely on ourselves, but trust in Jesus alone to receive your salvation. Lord, may you use us so that the gospel message will be preached to our non-believing family members and their friends that who not yet know you, so that them too will be blessed by you now and forever. We pray this in the name of your Son. Amen.